Welcome, everybody, to the Game Buddy Lovecast. I'm Sean. As always, I'm joined by Adam.
How's it going, guys?
And John.
How you doing?
Today, it's our special Valentine's Day episode of the Game Buddy Lovecast. And in this episode, we'll be talking about love and video games. That's right, baby.
Wow, our voices can get really low, can't they?
Apparently.
Yeah. Just come in and out of it just like that. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think I finally dropped. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Yeah.
Well, I felt myself like a pair of testicles, guys. It lowered.
We finally hit puberty, guys, so we'll have to celebrate after the show and get a couple of
brewskis.
A couple beers. Yeah. Hopefully our voices don't crack too bad when we order.
Hopefully not. That's the most embarrassing thing right there. But, yeah, we'll be talking about love and video games. But first, Adam, what you playing?
So this week, I beat Ninja 5-0. I think that's important. We need to talk about that. Finally
beat
that.
How was ending, Adam? Because you talk about this every week, so I'm glad this will be the last week you talk about this.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Like, the final scene, it's just so cinematic. That's why I call it that. But the final level is you're on an airplane that's in air, and you're just kind of, you know, taking care of all the hostage situations on the plane. So you're going by, what do they call the different sections? The classes of the plane? So you start
first
in the back
class,
and coach.
Class, economy
and then,
and coach.
Yeah. And you're, you know, you're fighting ninjas that are on the, you know, just kind of coming out of the overhead compartments and taking guys out. And then you finally get to the cockpit, and like the final boss, like the demon guy, he has like the, what do they call the guy that flies the plane? Oh yeah, the pilot. He's holding him hostage the whole boss battle. And if you hit the pilot, it's, you know, automatic game over. So it's pretty, there's like a level of intensity there with that hostage, which is like one of the biggest like gameplay hooks of the whole game, is that they're, you know, if you hit a hostage, like a ninja cop, like cripples over and humiliation and turmoil, and it's game over. So
if only
a really
had
good
a,
game.
If only had a ninja air marshal he could have partnered up with during that level.
Yeah, maybe, you know,
action with the link cable, everybody.
Once I send the game design document for the sequel to Konami, like I'm definitely gonna have to include that. So yeah, I've been playing that. I finally started playing Yoshi's Island on Super Nintendo, like sitting down seriously playing through that. I've never actually, you know, sat down with that game and really gave it my full attention, you know, over what is that game, 20 years old now or whatever. But
it's
I've always
great
kinda,
game, though.
Yeah, always just playing it in passing, and I'm really enjoying that. It's surprisingly challenging too. I'm probably a couple of worlds in, I guess that's what you would call them. Is that game pretty long? I can't really tell.
I think it's about eight levels and then levels within the levels, obviously. It's like a standard Mario fare.
That's pretty impressive, because, yeah, I've only beat two of them. But people aren't lying when they say that's like one of the most gorgeous Super Nintendo games. It has such a great style to it.
It is. It is
really
a really
nice
good style to it,
And it's so weird how it, like, it's technically it's Super Mario World 2, right? But it really isn't a Mario game, though. Or is it? I don't know. It feels so much different, like, where it has, like, the egg-throwing mechanic. Which, to this day, still, like, really, really cool and different, I think.
Well, I think in Japan, actually, it wasn't really, you know, a Super Mario game. It was Yoshi's Island, you know. It was just a Yoshi game.
Right.
But when they put it over to the U.S., they figured, why not? Why can't we just milk the Mario name here and put Super Mario World in front of it so people will buy it?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
But I think it does work, like, really, really well as a sequel, though, because it's the kind of sequel I liked, where it really just kind of takes place in the same universe, I guess, but it's drastically different style, you know. But I also like how there are lottery tickets in that game. You remember those?
Very vaguely. It's been a minute since I've actually sat down and played that game.
I don't know what it is like I'm doing or collecting in these levels, but like you'll occasionally I'm getting like a lottery ticket at the end in between levels that you scratch off, and if you scratch off like, you know, one baby Mario head, you'll get one life, one up, and you scratch off two, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, it's a great game. What else did I say I was playing? Oh yeah, Maximum Carnage. I started playing that today. What a weird game.
Game was brutally tough, though, if I remember correctly on that.
Oh God, yeah. I'm just I'm playing it single player, of course. You know, I don't have any friends. But no, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's pretty much a single player but, game, anyways. Maximum Carnage.
But I thought you were telling me is like there's two players.
There's a sequel to it that's two players.
Oh, okay. See, I thought everyone was telling me that it's especially hard two player. But yeah, I beat
there's a sequel game. Yeah.
Okay. I forgot it had a sequel. Is that the one that was in a black cartridge on Super Nintendo? And this is red cartridge, but yeah, it is tough, but it's cool though. Like it has a rocking soundtrack by Green Jelly. Remember that? That always blew my mind. I remember renting that game as a kid, and I already really loved Green Jelly, the band. To all the kids at home, you know, who weren't born yet or whatever, but that was like a kind of a shock. I was to find this band that I really enjoyed did the soundtrack because I remember just thinking, like, how does that work? Like, how are they playing a Genesis cartridge, you know? Like, but I'd to this day, like, I have no idea how, if Green Jelly, the band, sent them, like, a demo of, like, a jam session, kind of similar to what Michael Jackson did, apparently, when he did music for Sonic 3. But it's kind of hard to tell because it also sounds like they may have just compressed, like, their demos or did some kind of, like, compression, but the music is so good on it. I love it. But I think that's about it. That's all I've really been playing. Still just old stuff that's kind of fun to tinker around with and play when we're in the off season of releasing, you know, modern games, I guess.
Big budget games right now. We're waiting for the, you know, new systems to come out, I guess, really. So why not go back to our old games and
right. Yeah, I mean,
enjoy that, those.
Kind of being stuck between generations of consoles, yeah, on top of it being, you know, the winter when nothing comes out, seems like. But wait, that's not true. They put a lot of stuff out kind of
late
winter.
They put a lot of stuff
winter.
Out for holiday. Holiday is pretty much like the big thing.
Right. It seems like it's a big thing to release stuff in kind of towards the end of February now, though. Isn't there some big stuff coming out? I mean, we know that Metal Gear is coming out, but I feel like there's some other stuff, too. I know there's definitely one that was supposed to come out that's not now, but we'll get into that when we get to the news.
Yeah. Very disappointed about that, by the way. Spoiler alert, everybody. Well, what I'm playing, you know, I have my 3DS now. Monday, I recently picked up the new Fire Emblem game by the eShop. Playing the about 20 hours into that game right now. I've been seeing a whole bunch of hours into that, it seems, between that and finishing up my finals and everything. So, yeah, it's going along great, man. Great story. Like, the pacing's really good on it, and it's just a really great game. Just basically a strategy RPG at its purest form right there.
Now, is this the first one that is doing, like, 3D stuff? Because I saw that. That it has 3D battles
now. I really can't say about the one that came out with the game on the GameCube because I really haven't played that.
Yeah, I didn't even realize they had one on GameCube.
Yeah, they had one on GameCube. You know, after the big success that Smash Brothers was, they decided to bring one over here overseas.
Like, I'm not really familiar with Fire Emblem. How would you kind of describe it to someone that has no idea really what it is?
Basically, like I said, strategy RPG, basically have these characters and stuff, and they have these different, like, classes. And you go through, like, you played Final Fantasy Tactics before?
Sure, yeah.
It's kind of like that in a similar way, except you're, like, a grid-based board. You're moving around, you get into battles, there's different percentages depending on what weapons you're using. It's kind of like a rock, paper, scissors mechanic with weapons and magic on that. Like certain weapons like axe beats spears, spears beats sword, and sword beats axe or something like that. Could be completely backwards on that. I don't know, but it's a really interesting mechanic on that. So you'll do more damage with whatever one beats what. And oh, it's a really good game. Like, you just go through and, like, story pacing. Like, after every battle, you have, like, a little bit of story beats on it afterwards.
Now, it's made by the same team that makes Advance Wars, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, I remember it being very, very similar. Like, I only played the first one on... that would have been Game Boy Advance, right?
Yeah, it's Game Boy Advance when Advance Wars came out.
But it still has the permadeath, too, right?
Yeah.
Which is a big part of it.
You actually have an option to turn that off, which I had to do because I kept getting frustrated when somebody died.
Yeah, that's when I stopped.
I had to keep restarting the game, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not as hardcore as most people. I just, like, I started over, and after I was, like, 14 hours in on my first
playthrough... I stopped playing the original one because I was so upset that my buddies got killed.
So it sounds to me like it's kind of, or maybe XCOM is kind of similar to this game, one or the other. Like, they kind of seem, like, XCOM's not really RPG, but, you know, you have, like, permadeaths of people from your group or whatever, mm-hmm. and that kind of the strategy aspect of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but I was looking at some coming up releases, and we kind of forgot a few of them that I think... guys might be kind of looking forward to Metal Gear Rising coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to that. Even though it looks like they've shown like the majority of the game in their marketing material.
And then Crysis 3 is coming out the same day.
Huh. Yeah, have you played any of the Crysis games?
No, but I might give the third one a try because it sounds like it's like... they're not just trying to push the envelope of computer graphics. They're actually concentrating on, you know, like other aspects of the game as well. So,
yeah. So, can your computer that you built a couple years ago, like, could that play the first Crysis like pretty well? Or have you ever tried it?
I haven't tried it, but I'm pretty sure it would play it fairly well. That's still the most graphics intensive game, isn't it? Of the three.
Yeah, they pushed back on the second one, didn't they? A little bit.
Especially for console, obviously.
Yeah,
that first one, like, wow. It's hard to believe that came out in, like, was it 2007, I think? And that's still, like, up there. I think it still is up there. It's, like, one of the most, like, technically advanced, you know, graphics in a game. Maybe we'll get a port of that on the next Xbox and the next PlayStation. PC Perfect from 2007.
Ooh, and a Sonic game is coming out for 3DS. Actually, yeah, 4 days, next Tuesday.
What's it called? Okay.
The Sonic All-Stars Racing.
Oh, yeah.
That's a kart game, yeah.
Those are fun. Those are really fun. I played the first one.
I think it's a poor man's Mario Kart, though.
That's what it sounds like.
If I'm going to play like a race or a kart game, I'm going to play Mario Kart. I'm sorry.
You know what I think is... I'm not going to say that because if we have any listeners, they will definitely unsubscribe. But my favorite kart racer is, it's so good that I forgot the name of it. It's the Avatar Racer, Joyride. Joyride on Xbox Live Arcade. That was like my summer game of summer 2012. It was so fun.
What are you talking about that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a really, really good quality game, and it was originally going to be their first foray into free-to-play game. But then they were like, let's just do this Kinect thing instead, and they made it a really terrible Kinect launch game. But luckily, they let the team that makes that, I can't remember what they're called, Microsoft owns them, but they allowed them to actually just put it out, you know, on Xbox Live Arcade for $10, and you can play it with buttons. No, it's not Rare. Big Park, or I think they're called Big Park or something like that. But yeah, it's really, really good, and it's like one of the prettiest Xbox games, no lie. Like, it's gorgeous looking, so silky smooth, and it has really cool. It looks almost like a Roadrunner, old Looney Tunes Roadrunner cartoon. The backgrounds have those really stylized deserts and whatnot. But It's really cool. You should check that out. I think you could catch it on sale. It seems like that one goes on sale quite a bit for like $5.
But anyways, guys, John, what are you playing currently?
Well, after I beat the game we shall not mention,
I decided to go. You finally beat that? Way to go, buddy. We can stop talking about that one, too.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to stop talking about that, actually.
I think we will allow you to say it one last time since you beat it. Just say it.
Okay, yeah. I beat, what was the name of it? Dark Souls, right? I already forgot the name of it. Beat Dark Souls, what was it, like last Saturday?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was, it kind of went out with a whimper. Like, the ending cinematic was, like, literally 5 seconds long and really didn't do much at all. But it was worth it. I'm glad I beat it. I can say I beat it.
You know what I think that the ending should be for one of those games? It should just – text should just come up on screen and just say, God, you're sick.
Yeah. I don't understand the people that want to play that, like, in New Game Plus, New Game Plus Plus. It's like – once you beat it and you know all like where everything's at and all the tricks, like I don't see what the replay value is.
Well, I guess it would just be fun to just like kill a lot of really big scary guys, you know, at the very beginning of the game maybe, but well, you already do that though by the time you beat it, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a reason why people like just play that New Game Plus like obsessively, it seems like. But,
but yeah,
so sick people we're talking about.
So after that, I decided I'm going to try to get through my backlog of video games, so I decided to start playing Bulletstorm, which was a 2011 release.
You made a really, really good decision, too, booting that up. Did you know that is my jam?
It's literally one of the funniest games. Like, I'll find myself like laughing out loud playing it at some of the dialogue and the situations. The only thing I can say about it, though, is it feels a little easy. Like your powers, your kick, your slide, your leash, they all like feel really, really overpowered. Maybe that's kind of the point.
Yeah, I think the point of the game is that you're a bull in a china shop, and that it's not about you being, you know, in trouble of getting killed or hurt. It's about you being in trouble of not getting a huge combo. Like how insane can you kind of like just blaze through this level and kill people in really hilarious, brutal ways?
But it's pretty refreshing after playing a few RPGs in a row. I can play for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, and I feel like I accomplished something, and I had fun, and I can put it down with all right. You know, I don't feel like I played for 6-7 hours, and like, wow, I accomplished absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So
that's refreshing.
Yeah, I think it's really sad that game didn't really find an audience at all.
I think it was
because
just
it's
too
so
different.
Good.
It's a good
it's
game.
It's so good, like... I don't know if it was just a failure, a marketing failure, or if people, if the FPS audience is just too mature for a game that that creates new curse words and stuff, which I'm not gonna say because this is a PG-13 podcast, I think, isn't it?
Right? I think we're trying to keep it PG-13.
I think we're PG-13, but
Yeah, but if you're PG-13, yeah. you're allowed a couple expletives here and there, but...
Yeah, damn it.
I changed my settings,
bitch.
Though.
Oh, crap. I just said the... Yeah.
You said
I don't think anyone... No, I said the dog one. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, that game is really, really, really fun. And I wish people would like fun games and go out and buy it for... It's probably $5.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how long it is, but I think my next game is either going to be Rage or Alan Wake. It's going
to
be my next
play. I think it would be, I don't know, it would either be really cool to play Rage right after Bulletstorm, or, I don't know, maybe you should take a post-apocalyptic break.
Yeah, take a little break from that.
I think that Alan Wake, even though I wasn't crazy about it, like that would be kind of a cool game to play after playing something like
right.
as brazen as it is Bully, as I call it, Bully Storm.
So, yeah, really liking it. I give it a big thumbs up. Wish it was a better success so they would have made some sequels.
I think half of those guys left to start their own company, and the other guy, half of that company made that new Gears of War that's coming out soon.
Yeah, Gears of War.
Which is a shame, I think, that you know, they just kind of became the B team for Gears, because I think those guys are a lot more talented, but whatever. Got to have them Gears.
Yeah, we got to make a new one every year. But anyways, guys, let's get into some love and action here. Adam, would you like to start us off here about love and video games and what comes to your mind first?
I would say the most romantic video game of all time is going to be Doom by id Software. Have you ever played that game? It's about a guy who loves his shotgun. He loves to shoot guys with it.
And...
for the crickets.
And you're really going to go and say Doom?
No, I don't know. Like, I mean, our video games aren't really like they're not like the most romantic of mediums, are they? But there are certain moments in certain games, and I would even say certain genres where it is pretty prevalent, wouldn't you say? Like, I would say, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of loving going on in RPGs, right? I played Final Fantasy VII once, and
yeah,
there were sparks flying. And
well,
who
did you chase after? Did you chase after Aris or Tifa?
I liked Aris because she I don't know, like it seemed like the story was kind of set up to kind of make you care more about her, as I recall it.
But you didn't have the choice, didn't you? Like, you could choose.
Yeah, you get different dates. You have between...
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
What was the ninja? What was her name? I can't think of the ninja's name in that.
Dude, yeah, once that bitch stole all of my crap, she was dead to me.
So you don't like...
not even an option for you then.
No.
I'm going to check that.
I just got you wrong.
I'm not feeling the love here, guys. I thought this was supposed to be a love cast.
No, that's cool. Spread the love.
Spread love, everybody.
Get back on the love train, man. But see, I totally forgot about that they did that. Like, I don't know. Like, I have no recollection of there being kind of like the love triangle. Because I was trying to think back, like, the relationship between Cloud and, how do you say her name? Aerith?
Yeah.
Guys?
Is that how you say it? Mm-hmm. Like, I was trying to think back, was that like more of a platonic relationship, or were there loins erupting between each other? I don't know, because I thought maybe they were. It was more of like a spiritual connection. Is that a reach? I don't know.
I mean, they certainly like made it seem like they could be potentially soulmates. I guess how you want to term it.
Okay.
Like, there was a deep connection other than, you know, just an attraction or a friendship or, you know.
Well, the one in the short shorts was definitely, like, the eye candy of the game, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, definitely felt the love in that game. It was romantic. There were some moments. I seem to recall a little date between the two pretty early in the game, right, where they're, like, on the swings. You guys remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
It's pretty romantic, right? But so Final Fantasy VIII, that one was they pushed the romance aspect like even more with that one, right?
Yeah, even like all the Final Fantasy games have some sort of romantic interest in it, like between certain characters.
Well, other than probably like 11 and probably what was the last one, 14 or 13.
Well, because those are online, those don't really count unless you find a wife on it or something like that. Do the MMO marriage type thing. So I guess, yeah, you could find love in that if you want.
Yeah, yes, technically.
All the dateless losers out there.
I seem to recall a very grand ball scene in Final Fantasy VIII.
Well, that song, too. I like the song when they're doing that in Final Fantasy VIII.
They show that sequence like supposedly in render like real time.
Yeah,
it was rendered
this is
real time.
In-game, yeah. This is the power of the... No, that was PS1 still.
That was PlayStation 1.
Yeah. There's no way they lied about that, or did they? Well, that was probably just rumors, you know. You know
it
how that
good,
was.
Though. Yeah. I mean, it still looked good regardless, you know.
Yeah.
despite what you think of the battle system and story on that one, like those cut some of those cutscenes were pretty good.
Yeah. So see, RPGs.
That's another game. I just wanted to talk about Final Fantasy VIII for just 2 seconds. When they took my magic away at the very end of that game, that's when that game became dead to me.
Well, they did the whole weird draw system in that one. I wasn't a fan of the whole draw system in 8. I feel like we probably should have talked about this in our RPG episode a little bit. I think we did. We touched upon it. But, yeah, that whole draw system thing just really killed the game for me.
I lost interest. I mean, I don't know. The only reason I even played through Final Fantasy VII was because I was wanting to watch those summons. So, you're talking to the wrong guy.
Remember you were really mad when I beat Sephiroth on your game when you were asleep or something?
No, I think I was there. I wasn't mad at you. I was mad at myself because I
you had the willpower to stay awake.
You literally just it was like the first time you even played him. Like, you just destroyed him. And it literally took me 5 months playing that consistently, that last battle, to beat him. Just mashing out on stuff, you know? I mean, that's why I don't like RPGs. I was just so frustrated because I was like, why am I so terrible at this? Like, why am I so bad at RPG math?
But hey, get a strategy guide. You'll be okay.
Well, I think it's just like the little decisions that you have to make, you know, in the turn-based battles that I've always been really bad at.
You choke?
I guess, yeah. But I remember when I beat that game, I had just a couple of hit points left. I was poisoned, stunned. I was spinning around. It was a big accomplishment for me when I beat that. And I never really beat an RPG since then, a proper RPG, JRPG, I guess.
So what about the love between Sephiroth and his mom? I mean, that's kind of what precipitated the whole game in 7, wasn't it?
That was kind of creepy.
Wasn't his mom a giant, a blob of alien muck or something like that?
Yeah, I get kind of polluted at the end, so I don't really remember.
I kind of lost interest because Cloud is an emo character, and I'm not a fan of his.
So moving on into some other romance-based RPGs, let's talk about some of the more Western ones.
You got Mass Effect and Dragon Age, right? 2 by BioWare. Oh. That huge scandal they had back when the first one came out with the whole sexting it or whatever was blown up all over different news outlets.
You could have homosexual alien relations, right?
Yeah.
Which I always wondered, was that just girl on girl, or could you be a gay man?
They added it in. Maybe it's in the sequel that you could.
It's in the third one they did that.
The third one you could finally have a homosexual male relationship.
Was that the big story that was that you couldn't be a gay guy?
And actually,
in the third one, you
were just mad with the whole sex scene. Didn't really do much.
In the third one, as a male character, you actually hooked up with two different guys. Maybe not in the same playthrough, but you had the option, actually, between two gay male characters.
So you guys, you've played them, all of them, right? Both of you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you actually have, relationships with these characters, or is it just,
You talk to them between missions, and you raise your relationship up with them?
But you don't have quiet little moments where you're on the couch watching Netflix together, or you can't go on dates and stuff.
Oh, you do, but the one date is basically where you get it on. Actually, you do, because if you're on in a city or something, they could be at a nightclub or overlooking some scene, and you can have actually a quiet moment with them. So I did forget about that.
Which I guess that in the future that's what dating will be like, you know, just really no frills nonsense,
So we all saw Demolition Man, right? we all saw that movie.
The thing I've never seen with other games that I've seen with Mass Effect is through online communities is people have gotten really attached to the characters they've chosen to be their love interests, kind of unhealthily attached to these characters.
They should start selling to where you could get a 3D printed doll or something.
Yeah.
Or DLC, a fleshlight. you know, DLC thing. Like, I don't know.
That's just too far.
Okay.
It's going a bit too far, man.
All right.
Remember, PG-13. PG-13.
I said flashlight. What? All right. So
but I don't remember. I don't remember a lot of the romance from Dragon Age. Could you romance more than the witch character?
I really don't remember. I've only played a little bit of Dragon Age. I wasn't too impressed with it. I just know there's that option in there.
And I never played 2 at all, so I don't know about that.
Yeah. I think, too, they try to make more like Mass Effect, actually, if I remember right.
So what about puzzle games about love?
Oh, yeah, Catherine, right?
Yeah.
Adam, I think you're the best person to talk about that one right there. You played more than I did of it.
Did I really?
I think so,
you didn't get
yeah.
that far into it? Yeah, I got pretty far, but that, you know, like, I'm being, like, totally serious here. Like, I think it is, like, one of the coolest game stories. Would you call it a survival horror puzzle game? I kind of want to call like it that.
We'll coin it, all right?
Yeah,
that's what the genre is called now, everybody.
Yeah, survival horror puzzle dating sim. But it actually was really cool. It was about, like, this young guy. I think he's in his late 20s, and he's just like an IT guy, I think. And he's afraid to settle down, right, with his girlfriend of 10 years. And
whose name is?
Catherine. Yeah. With a C or a K, I can't remember. But, yeah, Catherine's really has a really interesting, like, dare I say, adult storyline about, you know, relationships and infidelity and things like that, which is
it's didn't you tell
cool,
me your
you know?
Girlfriend at the time when it let you play that game?
I don't know if I want to get into that. But
some love right there. It's some true loving right there.
Yeah.
Well, talking about puzzle games with romance in it, what about Ico? I don't know. Like, I never really played it, but did that relationship ever progress? Or
you just felt that attachment because you're always trying to protect her and everything, I think. Like, he has no words. It's one of those Japanese games where you get strongly attached to this character and you don't want to see any harm happen to her.
Yeah, I would say that's a good Valentine's Day game to snuggle up on the couch with a bag of Doritos. No.
And a candle. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty good one. I think they're both supposed to be kind of kids in that, but you know, it's a love game. What about Shamu? I think Shamu is a good Valentine's Day game.
See, I never played the first one or played much of the second one to really know, so that's more or less your guys' thing right there.
I honestly don't remember much of the romance in those games.
Like, well, see, the cool thing about the romance in Shamu is that here you have this main character, this young man he wants answers on who killed his dad, but he has this female from his school who I don't really think they make it clear that they're an item, but it's kind of implied that they are. And she's kind of pursuing him throughout the whole game, but he's so distracted by his quest for revenge that, like, he kind of pushes her away, and it's actually, like, kind of sad and really well done, like, not being funny. Like, it's very, you know, kind of the scenes between them is very soap opera-ish, but there's definitely kind of a sadness to it that is
and maybe I felt like as similarly like tunnel vision with him, so I really didn't notice that as well. Maybe that's why.
Right. And I, you know what? There's a really romantic scene where Nozomi's her name. She gets kidnapped by a gang and you go and beat up those guys. And you put her on the back of your motorcycle, and you drive off with her. I always thought that was kind of cool, you know, kind of romantic.
Yeah. Of course, you have back into the subject. We always have the tired and true Mario chasing and saving Princess Peach. There's nothing more romantic about that, though.
All right, here's the thing.
I don't really judge what their relationship is because it's never really implied as anything that they're boyfriend and girlfriend.
I don't think that they're an item. I think that he's just kind of a sucker. Like, he just needs to get over it. Like, let her go, you know? She's not interested, Mario.
Now, I would say the only two characters that might be similarly linked together, like Mario and the princess, or maybe Zelda and the princess he keeps trying to save.
I mean,
Link. Yeah, is there...
Yeah, is that there... was a joke. Because I said Link. Yeah, it was a bad joke. I apologize. But...
Oh, I wasn't paying attention halfway. It's like, wait a minute. What?
Are they an Crickets? Item, though?
But yeah, Link
are
and
they
Zelda.
An item?
Well, there's different timelines, so it's really hard to say because none of them really continue on, except for, like, Spirit Tracks and the Wind Waker's ones, pretty much. They're the only continuation, really.
You know what? Going back... Going back... Sorry. Going back to Princess Peach, I think Super Princess Peach is a really, really good Valentine's Day game. Did you guys ever see that?
I've seen it, yeah.
Never played it?
I haven't played it, no. I've seen it. It's like... I don't know. I think I'm losing like man points if I played that game.
Well, I think I actually gained man points playing that game. It's actually really good. It's a cool game because instead of Mario saving the princess, it's the other way around. You see what they did there?
I see what they did there. Taking out what you're putting down.
And you can't fall back on the, well, why doesn't Luigi just go and get him? Because he also gets kidnapped at the same time. And you can't say, why doesn't Toad go after him? Because he also gets kidnapped. So all three of them. They don't even acknowledge him, I don't recall. But it's actually a really fun game.
That timeline. Yeah. This is the darkest timeline.
Like, it has a lot of pink in it, and there's a really cool... a heart system in it to where you use Princess Peach's emotions to do different things. On the bottom touch screen, there's like a heart for each emotion. So if you hit the like the happiness one, Princess Peach will like kind of fly around the screen. There's like one where it makes her angry and she like can like turn, you know, set stuff on fire and stuff like that. You have to use to do puzzles and whatnot. It's a really fun little game. It has kind of a similar art style to Yoshi's Island too, especially some of the background stuff. But I think, Sean, you should just get over yourself and play it.
Might as well. I'm pretty sure I'm picking up cheap over on Amazon or GameStop or something.
And you know what? You can just do like what
I
did.
The biggest Adam seal of approval. I might give it a play.
And for the record,
I
was playing my girlfriend's copy of that at the time, and I enjoyed it.
So all I was going to do is, get a girlfriend, and, two, say I got it for her.
Yeah, or you could just man up, you know, and...
Is that the steps? Is that the steps I got to take right there to play this game without any regrets?
I mean, I you're already in that zone, I feel like, when you're a Nintendo fan. So, I mean, what really, aren't we splitting hairs between, you know, going to buy that new Yoshi Wii U game or getting a copy of... Super Princess Peach.
Very true, I guess. Touche. You win this round.
All right, here's
some
of my
fans. Just post it up on our Twitter if I should get the game or not.
Yeah.
Just post it up at GB Funcast.
Here's some other Valentine's Day games.
Hashtag play or not to play.
So, yes, here's some other cool ones I was thinking about today that would be good Valentine's Day games. There's one called Tulip. It was a PS2 game, and you can download it on the PlayStation Network now. It's probably really cheap, too. But it's a really weird game. It's kind of like a, I don't know, what do you even call the genre of kind of an Animal Crossing-like game where you're in a little town filled with quirky characters with giant heads? It's that same kind of game. But it's a lot, you know, stranger. Because everyone's human. Well, not everyone. There are aliens in it, too. But you play as, like, this new kid in town who falls in love with the girl next door, and you just go around this weird little town, and you just kiss everyone. Like, you can kiss, like, the mailman, you know, the butcher, and you're just trying to, like, do little chores for people so that they will like you, and they'll give you a kiss, and it fills up your heart meter. And then if you don't make them happy, they'll, like, hit you, or they'll reject you, and it'll actually break your heart, which can eventually kill you, but...
Sounds like a very Japanese game right there. Sounds very Japanese to me. Yeah. So that's the whole point of the game. You just go around and try and kiss people.
Pretty much.
I'm sure
I never beat
it. If
it
was an American game, you'd wind up getting arrested for that.
Yeah. But everyone looks like a really weird, like, Muppet in the game. Like, it has a really distinct art style. It's actually really cool, where their heads just kind of yammer on like Muppets, kind of wildly, you know? It's interesting. I guess the guy that made it went on to make a game called Little King Story that a lot of people liked.
I heard about Little King Story before, yeah. Yeah.
It looked kind of like a Pikmin RPG almost.
And then there's a sequel coming out too, I believe.
A PS Vita, right?
I think a Vita one, yeah.
Oh, and you know what? One last one. I found a great racing game for Valentine's Day. Any guesses?
Why, Adam, what would you possibly be mentioning here?
So Outrun. We all know Outrun, right?
No.
No.
You guys are kidding, right? You've never played Outrun?
No, I haven't.
Not that I recall.
Sean,
what is Outrun?
You've never played Outrun.
Well, give me a description of the game. I'll let you know if I played it.
So Sega's Outrun. You know, the classic Sega arcade racer where you're playing as a guy who has his girlfriend in his Ferrari with him. The better you drive and the more people that you blow off the road, the happier your girlfriend gets, and like little hearts pop off of her. And if you screw up, you know, and you go off the road too much, she'll start like kind of hitting you with her purse or whatever. But
I remember playing that game a lot at what was it, Chi Chi's?
I think that's like maybe the perfect Valentine's Day game though. Because it's about a wealthy man's love of his very, very expensive Ferrari and his beautiful blonde. It's probably his second wife, probably. It's about a guy going through a midlife crisis.
So that's the story to come up with, that he's going through a midlife crisis?
It's implied, but it's definitely there.
It's definitely there. Play it now, guys, and let us know what you think. Well, those are some good Valentine's games, guys. Like I said, I hope you guys are going to enjoy your Valentine's Day this time, but now it's time to get into the news. That's right. We're going to kick up the news of the week for this past week. So, Adam, did you hear all that news going on about Microsoft's new system? You know, how there's some leaked details going on about it?
Yeah, I did.
It's
going to
be always online and that it's going to have no secondhand games, like they're going to block out like the used games on it.
Right. Yeah, I saw that Edge Online is like, man, they're really betting their reputation on that scoop. They really seem to feel pretty confident that that's a reliable scoop. But I don't know.
The no secondhand thing's been known for a bit, though, hasn't it? Like the no secondhand thing, it's been like news for a while.
I think there were patents filed like years ago, you know, since this generation started, that have kind of pointed towards something like that. So we've definitely heard rumblings about that, but I don't know. I personally don't see it there,
enough backlash could cause them to go in an opposite direction, just because, I mean, companies are making money from selling online passes from games that are bought used. Someone might be more willing to pay $10 on top of a used price for a game rather than a full $60 price.
Yeah, because the online passes, that's been something that they've been doing for, what, at least 3 years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a lot of the bigger published multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Does Call of Duty have one?
I'm sure the recent ones must.
Maybe the recent ones.
Are they EA?
No, that's Activision.
Activision, okay. Because I definitely know the EA ones do.
EA was the first to really kind of spearhead that, right?
Yeah, especially with games and everything.
But I don't know, guys. Like, that would be very, very bold of them to do that, to lock out used games. And I know there's a lot of money to be made by it, and there's also a whole industry to literally just put out the pasture if they decide to do that. I saw also in the news that GameStop is they're already kind of, you know, coming out and implying that they're really afraid of this source. So,
but do you think they're going to have like codes that they're going to give to these used like game companies like GameStop that sell used games and stuff? So if they buy it used, they could do it that way, or I don't know. I don't know how they do it and like charge extra for the pass or whatever. I don't know. I don't really.
You know, It seems like they really hate these GameStop companies that they cut in on them. But at the same time, like, if they, I never understood why they do exclusive deals and stuff. I guess it's because they do make so much. It's kind of a double-edged sword, I guess, right? Like,
yeah.
They hate them, but they also, you know, they do sell quite a
well. When they sell quite it a used, bit of like when their they product. Get the games and sell them used again, that means Microsoft or whoever's the game company isn't going to see any money for it. It's all going to be profits towards GameStop at that
right.
point.
Right. So, I don't know. It seems really, really bold, and it, I don't know. I still don't think it's going to happen. I would still say that I don't think it will be as severe as what's been described in this article, but I don't know. I mean, this next generation is going to be – it's going to have to be bold and different and have a different structure if it's going to – if they're going to continue to make consoles. So maybe we are arriving at that. I don't know.
Because what we're also not talking about is that it could also be like a sticking point between who are you going to support, Xbox, next gen, or the PS4. Right. If the PS4 allows you to get used games, people might flock to that rather than the 360.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
And Microsoft has to know that, realize that, though. So, I mean, I don't know. Don't know. I think one company would be shocked.
They both have to do it if it's going to happen.
Right.
I don't think otherwise it's not going to happen at all.
Or even the Wii U. If they both do it, people might have to screw you both. I'll just go get some Wii U's.
No. I don't know about that. let's not get that crazy now, John.
You got a little too far into that, buddy.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of technically what it's like on PC now, right? If you buy a game. You have to have the code,
everything
right?
on PC is moving over to digital only on PC usually. Right. Like, you get a Best Buy or someplace now, and you hardly see any PC games anymore because everything's just converted over to being digital only.
Right, but so, there's never been like a used game market for PC ever, though.
Yeah, you could never really resell your PC games. They all had activation codes. And
let me get those floppies. Yeah, let me borrow those floppies. Well, let's get into the online aspect of this because that is just as huge to me. Do they really have the balls to lock this thing out to the minority of people that don't have the internet hooked up?
I honestly can't believe that they would try that after the backlash that Blizzard got from the always-on Diablo 3, that like people just were so angry about the first week because you're playing an offline game, but you couldn't play it because their service was down.
Yeah, that was a huge – but they really dropped the ball like Blizzard always does. On the release of games, they always drop the ball on everything they do. It always seems when they release something new. It's like they never plan for the influx of people getting on and doing that. That was one thing right there. I mean, otherwise, I'm pretty sure there'd be no problem with online only, except for the fact that some people just don't have the internet or a high-speed internet, you know, connection that can play it.
But do they care about those people? Because when you think about this, like people, you know, a kid that doesn't have the internet in his house, like – that would buy an Xbox, that's not a customer that's going to pay for Xbox Live, which they care about, not going to buy DLC. Do you think that they are just maybe cutting their losses on that minority of people?
Well, I guess it's a possibility. It's not only kids that get these systems, though. I mean,
yeah, right. Yeah, I get that. But
and they're going to be cutting out some of those people, too, as well.
But I don't know. I mean, think about it. Like, you know, the millions of people that go out and buy iPads, like, if you don't have the internet at your house, you're not going to do anything with that iPad, you know?
No, so unless maybe, you have like a 3G or 4G one.
Right. So maybe they're kind of looking at that. I don't know.
I think it's all wait and see right now with Microsoft until they actually come out and say something. Like, I think they'll do sometime after Sony does their announcement because – I think their hands can be forced, so I'm expecting something around March from those guys and what their new system's going to entail. That's if PlayStation does, you know, their new system and they're not just trolling us hardcore. What else have we got in the news, guys?
Well, what are your guys' thoughts on the recently available for pre-order Ouya?
It seems like it's pretty cool. Like, I think on paper it sounds like a great idea. It's dirt cheap, too, isn't it?
I think it's what, $99?
Yeah, it's like
it's $100.
Yeah,
wow. $100 for an Android platform.
You know what? It's $100. Double Fine has already announced they're supporting it. Hey, you know what? There may be something there. I don't know, but I would pick one up if it had, you know, for it's $100.
And it's HD.
Yeah, if it had like 5 games on it that seemed interesting, I would be enticed to get it. But
I think games are going to be pretty much dirt cheap on that too if it's an Android-based system, you know.
And I haven't seen what kind of controller is that. Does it have a controller?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. It looks pretty nice. I mean, it kind of looks somewhat like ugly, but right? It looks like it feels like it's ergonomically. It seems like it's really nice. The D-pad looks interesting, and so man, I had no idea it's $100.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm interested. Are retailers interested though? I mean, do you think are you going to see that thing? You know, at GameStop. Sitting on shelves?
I bet you'll see it at Best Buy.
You'd probably see it at Best Buy, yeah.
You know what? That was also a Kickstarter project.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about, you know, a next-gen system. It may not be that powerful, but that's very futuristic.
But yeah, I'm kind of like a wait-and-see type guy on that, though, because first I got to see something of it and see what it really does before I decide to go out and shell 100 bones on that.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way about the Wii U, Sean. Oh.
I mean, but what's really $100?
I'm just kidding.
That's just like, bash me for getting a Wii U.
Hey, you know I want one. What were you saying, John?
I mean, skipping $100, what's that? That's just like skipping one release. It's like, oh, I won't get Madden 2013 this time.
Yeah.
I'll just get this new system.
You know what? I think I'll skip out on all the Call of Duty DLC on this next one.
Right.
I'm going to get an Ouya instead. Play the new Double Fine game for $100 on my giant HDTV. So another big story. Didn't mean to commandeer the hosting duties from you, Sean.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
But I know me and Sean we're stewing in our own juices over here about this. Rayman Legends, the sequel to Rayman Origins, it was announced that this lovely looking game, which they've been demoing on the Wii U since October. It was originally supposed to come out in 3 weeks. Or was it 2 weeks, Sean?
2 weeks.
Two or three weeks. So they announced yesterday, hey, guess what, guys? We're also making a 360 version and a PS3 version, even though we said it was a Wii U exclusive. And guess what? That comes out in September, those versions, and that we're also going to postpone the Wii U version because we don't want to have to market this thing twice because that would cost a lot of money.
So
That's the thing.
The only reason they're delaying it is for a simultaneous release.
Right, because they don't want to market it twice.
Wow. And
yeah, I absolutely love that first game. It's unbelievable, and I don't know. There's a part of me that's really happy because now I don't have to buy a Wii U to play that because that was really the only thing going for that system for me right now. You know, I'm sure I'll feel different after E3. But I've seen people on NeoGAF that are so upset that they're like, I'm boycotting this game. I'm not going to buy it, you know.
Which seems
a bit silly to me, but.
Do you think there's some loophole in their exclusive contract with the Wii U about how many like units they were able to ship on whether they had to stick with that one console or not?
I don't know. I know one of the rumors is that Ubisoft was counting on Nintendo to help market the game and that maybe Nintendo was like, we're not going to handle that for you. So maybe that had something to do with it, but I'm thinking maybe the Wii U is not looking too good right now, and Ubisoft probably is like, well, we need to put this on these other systems. And they, you know, in their press release, they also stated, they said, we know that, you know, the original game sold, you know, pretty well on 360 and PS3. There are a lot of fans there that have been begging us for this, so that's what we're doing. But what's interesting is that the team that's actually making this game that everyone's, you know, in an uproar about, they actually did it. Someone came out from the team yesterday and said that they were absolutely heartbroken that they were in crunch time for the last 6 months, you know, sacrificing, you know, time with their friends and family, you know, working these insane hours, which is common for crunch time, just to have the higher-ups say, hey, guess what? It's not coming out until September. And, we are going to go ahead and make it multi-plat. So,
well, that really stinks for Wii U owners, but the good thing for Ubisoft is that there's not many of them.
Oh, man. Ouch. Ouch. Yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. Here's my take on it, my official take. I think people need to calm down because I think people forget that that game, that this is a sequel to Rayman Origins, that game came out in November 2011. And then they announced the sequel, which was originally going to be Wii U exclusive. That's, you know, the following E3 after that. So yeah. It's not like people have been waiting for this game, you know. It's like I thought that there's DLC that has a bigger gap between its release and when DLC comes out for. Look at Rage, you know. That was over a year, I think. So I don't know. As a fan, I don't mind waiting. Hey, guess what? I get to play it now. I don't have a Wii U yet, although I should have one by September. But maybe not, because Nintendo doesn't seem too interested in putting games out themselves on it. But I don't know. I think people need
wait
to calm down.
Until E3.
And here's another thing. We're lucky that this game even exists. I mean, a 2D platformer, like a really,
probably not well enough to make a sequel for.
Well, they said that it was profitable. That's all they would say about it. So it probably sold through just enough to be profitable. So I don't know. I think it's kind of silly that someone would boycott a game that they were looking forward to just because.
Yeah, I'm still looking forward to
the higher ups. Yeah,
but I just wish they would have done a time exclusive on it. You know, at least come out maybe like even a couple weeks sooner than the other ones did. You know,
I think that was that's all what we all assumed is that it was a timed exclusive, and that the 360, the PS3, the iPad version would be in the fall, which is what's happening now. But it really is a shame because I know people. There are some people online that were speculating that there are already like warehouses, and you know where that game is sitting. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
hell, there might be some already at the stores or GameStops and stuff. There might be already some there.
Maybe we'll see some pop up online, but we'll see how Ubisoft handles the backlash from the fans.
Well, they're doing an exclusive demo. They're making another demo, even though they had one for the Wii U shop.
So
they're going to put another one out there, more levels or something.
You bummed out that you have to wait 7 months to play this game that was going to come out in 2 weeks? Here's another demo for you.
We added more levels. Enjoy.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that the poor heartbroken developer said in that interview. They were like, well, we have 7 months. I guess we could make the game even more awesome and add more stuff. We don't really have anything else to do. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's not going to take much to port that over.
You know what? I do feel bad that they went into the crunch time for nothing, but I bet you that's like a really good feeling. It's almost kind of like when you do a homework assignment, like a week before it was even due, but because you thought it was due that week, you actually have a whole week to just kind of polish it up.
But you know, in software development, that sort of crunch time is just common. I mean, it's expected.
Yeah.
So it wasn't anything they weren't expecting.
Yeah, I mean,
they got paid for it.
Yeah, and they have 7 months to just kind of hang out and tinker around with their awesome game, you know, and make that 360 PS3 port, which will probably take them a month or two. But, yeah, I don't know. It does suck, but you know what? The game's going to be great. I have a feeling that it'll be worth it.
It's still
going
to come out. It's not going to get canceled or anything, so it will come out.
Oh, well, here's another thing everyone keeps saying online. Why would you put that out? Because it looks like it's going to land around the exact same time as the new Grand Theft Auto. So
yeah,
everyone's like, you're just sending this game that, first of all, this game wasn't going to set the world on fire anyway. The first one didn't.
Two, it's a different audience than
GTA
crowd.
Yeah, there's like a handful of people, me being one of them, that would even fathom getting both of those games, you know? So it will be weird, though, that that's going to come out
around the same time.
Yeah, so anything else? Any other big stories?
Well, a story that has really made me interested in the story is that Crytek came out and said that their primary goal is to transition entirely to free-to-play games. I mean, they're a major AAA developer.
I think I disagree with you there, though, because here's the thing about them. They have no hits. They don't have...
Far Cry 3 was a big game, was a big hit, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. Like I'm talking out of my butt here, I guess, but they just don't really seem to have any games that, like, I know people love. But then again, I'm a console guy. Maybe on the PC that's different, but
right.
Now they're making do you remember they announced a Kinect game? Like, was it 2 E3s ago?
Mm-mm.
Where it looks like it's like a almost like a gladiator-like game.
Oh, I can't think of the name, but I know what you're talking
but
about.
But the rumor is that that's been postponed for the 720. But it looked really cool. Like, the teaser looked interesting. I don't know if it'll be like a Kinect-like thing. But I don't know. Like, they don't really seem like they've had any, like, mega hits. But I could be wrong. Maybe those Crysis games did pretty well. But another iPad game I didn't really like that much, even though it looked really good. It's called Fibble, I think. But yeah, the free-to-play model, we've been hearing about that like all this generation, it seems like, to kind of offset the huge budgets that's going to be a thing. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you see that being like a common occurrence on the next gen?
Well, it's already big on the PC, like on the PC experience and stuff. There's a lot of free-to-play stuff out there.
Like, I dabbled with PlanetSide 2 a little bit, and that's an amazing free-to-play game.
Maybe that's they're going to really come back blazing, all guns blazing with that concept on the next system, that being one of its selling points. Because I really think that there is something there that could be kind of, maybe that's the next Wii. You know, the next big kind of pop cultural phenomenon in gaming is that kind of event game show-like experiences on a console in the living room.
That'd be kind of cool. Like, imagine, like, just, like, having, like, gaming events or something like that. Like, you'd pop in a game or something like that, like a shooter game or something like that, and people be watching you play, like, highlight matches and stuff. That'd be kind of cool.
So almost like a Running Man, but a video game. I think that'd be amazing. The first company that it kind of takes that concept and wraps it around an esports gameplay shell, like, there could be something there.
Well, yeah. Other thing, do you guys see the pricing for what the next PlayStation could be? I mean, they cut about $200 off from the PS3's initial launch from the supposed reports.
Yeah, who was that? That was a pretty recent rumor, like within the last day, wasn't it?
I got it on IGN. They were talking about it. They were saying that possibly like $400, $430 or something like that.
$400 seems pretty cheap, I think.
Yeah, considering what this thing's supposed to do. Pretty accessible for most people.
Yeah, it sounds very reasonable.
I mean, an iPod Touch now is like almost $400. I mean, it's a different world than it was in 2006. So I was honestly expecting these new systems to be 5 or 6. I mean, I'm not happy about that, but, you know, you have to be realistic about you know, pricing.
Tech and everything going into it.
Yeah. 400 sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty reasonable.
That sounds like a very fair assessment right there. I'd pay it. I'd drop down money and pay for one if it was that cheap.
But do you guys want to go ahead and take bets on price right now? I'm saying 6.
You're still gonna go 6?
I'm saying 6 for the at least one of the Xbox 720 or whatever they're gonna call it. One of the SKUs will be 600. I think there will probably be two.
I'm thinking 5. I'm going to go 5 on that. 500 for the one. The highest SKU is going to be 500. The cheap SKU is probably going to be like 300.
That's you 300?
On the Xbox? That's how much one costs now with the Kinect.
We're for the cheap one. The cheap one that they're going to have. The one that's only like, let's play arcade games.
And the subsidized one.
Yeah, the subsidized one. Yeah. That's going to be the $300 one.
We'll see.
They're going to have the one for, because then they're going to have the one that actually plays the real games for about 500, I'm saying.
But that
500, 550.
The arcade-like one, though, that won't be a 720, though. You won't be able to play, like, Halo 5 on it, I don't think.
But it's going
to
still have that 720 name, and there's going to be a lot of ticked-off kids out there when their parents get them the wrong system.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. So what are we calling for the PS4? I call 6 on that, too. That's how much the PS3 was.
I think the entry level is going to be $399.
Yeah, I'm going to go, what do they say, about 400, 430. I'm going to go with that.
So you think that they've learned their lesson from the backlash of the $600 PS3?
Yeah, because they came off that price really quick, actually, for a new console.
Well, people were shocked that it was that much. I remember just people almost just laughing, like, are you serious? It's $600? You know?
That's what contributed to its slow start, is the PS3's slow start was that, too, was that entry point. But I think they've learned their lesson, and that's where they're going for, like, around $400 for this one.
But, the big Sony reveal isn't just a couple weeks away, right?
Yeah, so we're going to do a live show for that one, folks. If you guys want to tune in, be doing it live on Google+. We'll be watching it with you guys. All right, guys, I think that's probably going to wrap it up. As always, follow us on Twitter and at GBFunCast. Watch us on RetroWare TV and listen to us on Podomatic. I'm Sean.
And I'm Adam.
And I'm John.
And we'll see you next time on the Game Buddy Funcast.